Let's pray together before we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you are a living, active, and speaking God. Lord, and our prayer, our request this evening is that you would speak to us. Lord, we ask, take away distractions. Lord, take away all those thoughts that are running around our heads about the week to come or the day that has been. Lord, and give us a desire, a heart to listen to you. Lord, we ask that through your Spirit you would speak to us, that you would change us, Lord, that you would encourage us. Father, we ask these things not because we have any right, any merit of our own, but we come in the name of Jesus. We claim his righteousness. And so, Father, would you hear our prayers because of him? Amen. Well, we're going through John chapter 4 over a course of four Sunday evenings. And if you weren't here last week, the scenario is this Samaritan woman who Jesus meets at a well and speaks to her and asks her for a drink. And this evening we come to verse 10 through to 15. That Jason's just read to us. And we're going to be looking at this title, an incredible offer. The offer that Jesus makes to a Samaritan woman, but also to us. To us here tonight, but also to those that are not here. To those that are outside here in Bristol. Those that we live with. Those that we work with. Those that we know. The offer that Jesus makes. The offer of salvation, the offer of life. That's what we're looking at this evening. And really asking one question, what is it that Jesus offers? What does Jesus offer? What are we saved for? Might be another way of phrasing that. We often talk about the need for salvation. We need to be saved, saved by grace, saved through faith, saved from sin, saved from death. But what are we being saved for? If we were to walk down to the BRI this evening, to the hospital there, we would see, no doubt, if we walked around enough, stayed long enough, we would see people whose lives were being saved. Saved for what? Saved so that they could live. It sounds obvious. But we talk in church a lot about people being saved. We pray for it. And we know what we're being saved from often. But what are we being saved for? That's what we're looking at this evening. And we're in John 4. And we're looking at three headings. An offer to those who do not know. An offer from someone greater than any hero. An offer that is unbeatable. Unparalleled. And so let's look and read again those words. There's only four or five verses, so let's read them again together. And let's read from verse 9. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." So firstly this evening, we're going to look at an offer to those that do not know. You see, I don't know whether you've noticed as you read through the Bible the accounts of Jesus' life, but Jesus is not in the habit often of answering people's questions. You see, the Samaritan woman has asked him this question. How can you ask me for a drink? With all that's going on there, she's a woman, he's a man, she's a Samaritan, he's a Jew. And Jesus doesn't just explain, well, here's how I can ask you. Instead, he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you, you would ask. If you knew, three little words for us, if you knew. The implication is that she doesn't know. She doesn't. She doesn't know this gift of God that Jesus talks about. She doesn't know who it is that is speaking to her. She doesn't know that this is Jesus, a man who would change the world. If you knew. What is the gift of God that it talks about? The Bible refers to it in different places. It describes different things as the gift of God. It describes the Holy Spirit as the gift of God. Jesus does that in Acts 2. The gift of eternal life. Paul talks about that in Romans. The gift of eternal life. The gift of God. And faith. In Ephesians, Paul describes faith as being a gift of God. So what is this gift of God that she knew? It could be any, it could be all of those, but all of those are connected. What is it that she doesn't know? What is it that isn't true of her? She doesn't know God. She doesn't know Jesus. She has not been made right. She has not been saved. That is where this woman stands before Jesus at the well. She's lost. She has not received this gift from God, and therefore she cannot understand. She is unable to ask the right question of Jesus because she does not know. God has not opened up her eyes to see who Jesus is, to see what it is that she should really be asking for. And as we approach Passion for Life, even as we meet here this evening, as we think of sharing the gospel with those around us, we need to recognize that people do not know. They do not know Jesus. They do not know the right question to ask. If we were to look around, if we were to go out the doors and have a conversation with the first person we met, they would not know what to ask. They would not know Jesus. It sounds so obvious, doesn't it? And yet, we can fall into the trap, I think, of thinking that people do know, or that people should know. We can sometimes be under the impression that people, well, generally are good people, that they just need a little bit more knowledge, or just a little bit more understanding. But the truth is that for this Samaritan woman, she does not know. And Jesus points that out right at the get-go. If you knew, but you don't. You see, God has not changed her. God has not opened her eyes to see Jesus. And there is a world out there who are unchanged. Their eyes have not been opened. They're like people who are born colorblind, who've always seen red as green and green as red. And their world is consistent, and yet it is wrong. That is what people are like, because they do not know. So as we approach Passion for Life, as we approach evangelism and mission, we need to recognize the fact that people do not know, and we can't make them know. Only God can make them know. It's not a matter of knowledge. It's not a matter of saying the right word at the right time. It's a matter of God working. God has to work in this Samaritan woman. And God will. Not to ruin the ending, but God does work. God does open her eyes. But we need God to work. It's not a sliding scale that will slowly work towards becoming Christians. No, we need God to work, and so we need to pray. That's why we're having a time of prayer at the end of this service, encouraging us as a congregation here to pray, to ask for God's help, to ask for God to work and to do what we cannot. Because people do not know. That is the reality of the world outside of these doors. For those that are not saved, they do not know. And so we need to pray. Pray that God would work. Let's move on. Second point, an offer from someone greater than any hero. How does the woman respond to what Jesus has said? Well, look down at your Bibles again. Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Her response, her reply, is interesting. There are two statements in there and two questions, all circling around this issue. This is what you've said to me, but here's what I need to know. Who are you? That's what she says to Jesus. Who are you to make that offer to me? To talk of this living water. Who are you? And how are you going to back this up? Where's your evidence? Because as she stood there at a well, and she's looking at Jesus, there's the well. And she says, I know Jacob, our ancestor from all those years ago. I know what Jacob can do for me, because here's the well. And I come to it every day. And every day I get water. And it's there. And I can keep coming. And I can keep coming. Jesus, who are you? And how will you do it? She's after water. This water of life. She says, you offer me this. Show me some proof. Show me something tangible. And it all hinges on who Jesus is. Who is it that makes the offer? So we come to John 4. Who is this? It's Jesus. She didn't know. She didn't know who it was. But she wants to know. She wants him to back up his claim. And she knows the history of her people. She knows Jacob. But maybe if she knew some of the rest of the Old Testament a little bit better, she'd have a clue as to who this was. Who this man was that would say such things to her, that would offer this to her. Jacob offers a well that provides water daily. But it is God that offers living water. So let's look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. My people have committed two sins, says the Lord. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. The Lord says, they have forsaken me, the spring of living water. It is the Lord who brings living water. And then Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah says, Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust, because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. Repeat it so that we might know it and grasp it. Living water comes from the Lord, Yahweh, the God of Israel, the Father, Son, and Spirit, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You often read that phrase, often repeated. Who is God? He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's well, normal water. The God of Jacob is the source of living water. Jesus is not only a greater man than Jacob, although if we were to read the accounts of their lives, we would definitely come to that conclusion. Jacob, a man who does come to love God, but a man who's so flawed, a deceiver, a con man, a liar, a conniver. And then Jesus, the lover of the broken, the healer. But it's not just that. Jesus is not only a greater man. Jesus is the God of Jacob. Jesus is greater. She asked the question, are you greater than Jacob? And the answer is yes. Jesus is greater than Jacob. And he is more capable of providing for people's needs than Jacob ever was. When people know Jesus, are in relationship with God, their maker and their creator and their ruler, then they can have more than normal water. They can have life. In Jeremiah, those words, God is the source of that living water. If she'd have known that, if she'd have known her Old Testament better, surely she would have asked him for living water, for something far better than Jacob could ever offer. And not just Jacob. No one can match this offer. Jesus is not only a greater man than Jacob, but he's a greater man than Moses, all that Moses could offer. He's a greater man than David, the great king of Israel. He is greater than Muhammad or Gandhi or Bill Gates or David Cameron or Jeremy Clarkson or anybody this world has ever known. Anybody to have walked the face of this earth. Jesus can offer more than they can offer. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, who has been in relationship with the Father and with the Spirit from before time began. From eternity past to eternity future. Jesus is part of the Godhead, the Trinity, three in one. Jesus and the Father and the Spirit, the source of life. He creates life, he sustains life. And he offers life to the spiritually dead. All through Christ. Jesus is the source of life. And he is greater than all men. And if we were to skip on just a couple of chapters into John, we would see Peter grasping this truth. Because he realizes that it is only to Jesus that we can go for life. As people start to scatter and leave Jesus, Jesus turns to his disciples and says, You too? Are you going to go? Do you not want to leave too? And Peter replies to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus has the words of eternal life and the water of life, living water. He is the source of life for people. So thirdly, let's look at an unbeatable offer. What is it that Jesus offers? Living water. We've danced around it so far, but let's ask the question, what is it that Jesus offers? We don't always appreciate water in this country. Bad timing on that one. But it's true. And I'm not just talking about the floods. I'm talking about water as a need. For life. If we need water, we go into the kitchen and turn on the tap. We don't have to fetch it. We don't have to really pay all that much for it. You don't really hear people complaining about water prices, do you? We have as much water as we could possibly want. But we need water for life. And if we came from a different country, and some of us do, and different cultures, we would appreciate water far more. Just like the Samaritan woman did. That well is a source of life for her, for everyone. Without water, we would die. And we don't really appreciate that because of our culture, because we live in a fantastic country. There are so many issues, but we have so many good things given to us. And Jesus says, look, we're talking about normal water, but let me offer you living water. Look again down at verse 13. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He makes 2 points. He says, you've got a well, I'm offering you a spring. And you've got momentary refreshment, but I'm offering you eternal refreshment, eternal fulfillment. A spring, not a well, eternal refreshment, not momentary. You see, what this world offers will not last. You see, the water of this world will be drunk and people will get thirsty again. Even in this country, part-time I'm working for Asda. Yesterday I was out in the rain and hail and it was delightful. And people from other countries don't trust our tap water. Right? If they come from a country where the tap water cannot be trusted, they often don't change their habit when they come over here. So I delivered to one guy yesterday who ordered 72 litres of water, bottled water. Asda, in their wisdom, have decided, and other supermarkets are available, have decided to put on offer a certain type of water, which is great if you want it, not so great if you're a delivery man. 72 litres. And even that man will need more water. Water, it does quench thirst. It does keep us alive. But we always need more. Always. And that is true of the things of this world. Not just water, but all the things that help us to live. The needs, but also the wants, the good things. They will not last. They will not offer lasting satisfaction and fulfillment. Not the cars, or the money, or the job, or the family, or the wife or husband. Not the sex or the music or the power. None of these things will last. The very best of them will only last for this life. They can be taken away in an instant. We've only got to look at our news. Look at the people who have been flooded in the last few months. In a moment, in a night, people have lost possessions and homes and businesses. All gone. All taken away. Just look at all around you. Look into our world. Look at all the broken relationships, the broken marriages, the broken homes. There is no guarantee of these things lasting. And they do not bring ultimate satisfaction, ultimate fulfillment. No matter what the adverts tell us, no matter what our society tells us, we've only got to look around and open our eyes to see that they do not satisfy forever. But Jesus says, to those who drink of living water, they will never thirst. They will never thirst. Hear that? Never. Sometimes we can miss the power of what Jesus says because we're used to it. But never thirst. They'll never need to get more. They only need the living water. They only need Jesus. And he will abundantly supply their every need. Their need to be loved. Their need to be encouraged. Their desire for greatness and achievement. Their hunger for completeness. Their need of relationship. Their need of value. Their need of a role. All of this is found in Christ. He is the living water. And to come to Jesus for anything less would be to miss the point. He is the life. And sometimes we can talk about Christianity as a get out of jail free card. Don't go to hell, become a Christian. But what are we going to? What are we being saved for ultimately? The new heavens and the new earth. Let's look together at the picture of what life will be like in eternity, to be with God, to be his people. Revelation 21 verses 5 and 6. Talking about the new heavens and the new earth. He was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. The words of Jesus. What are we headed to? We are headed to an eternity with Christ, and he will give us this living water. Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. This picture of where we are headed. And at the center is the water of life coming from the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb, who is Jesus. And he will give us the water of life. And it is Christ. It is being with him and knowing him. So being saved is, it is being saved from hell. It is being saved from suffering God's rightful wrath for our sin. But it also being saved to know Christ. All that he is. And if we had time, we'd look at Genesis. And we'd see how even in the Garden of Eden, God's prototype for how things would be, there is a river flowing through it. We're supposed to expect this. When Jesus offers the living water, he offers what heaven will be, what eternity will be. It will be knowing Christ. To be a child of God. To be with God. To enjoy knowing him and being known by him. Enjoying his nearness. And his blessing and his goodness. And in the now, it offers strength for every passing day. It offers joy in all circumstances. It offers purpose and direction for every life, for every confused person, blinded by the fog of this life. It is to know Christ. Living water is to know Jesus, to know him as your Lord, to know him as your Savior. And it is a spring, not a well. It's not like we have to keep dipping in. Notice Jesus' words again. The woman has been talking about a well. But this is a spring. Verse 13, I will give, that indeed the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. It can't be taken away. See, there's always a danger for that Samaritan woman that she would rock up to the well one day and it would have been filled in or the water would have run out. But Jesus says, the water I give you, once I have given in you, it will become a spring that flows and flows and flows and cannot be taken away because it is inside you, not outside of you. See, so many of the things in this world will be taken away. There will be things that will stop us. But not with Jesus. It will become a spring. And we know from the Bible that when we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. And is a seal in us that we are Christ's. And the Holy Spirit works in us, changing us and showing us the things of Christ and reminding us of who we are. And it is internal, not external. The Holy Spirit lives within us. It cannot be taken away. That is the offer that Jesus makes. Living water, not normal water. To come to know him, to trust in him. So what will you do with the offer of Jesus? Will you come? If you're not a Christian, we're so glad that you're here. We really are. But what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with his offer of life, of living water? And if you're a Christian, what are you doing with this? Are you parking all this truth on one side, knowing it's true, but not rejoicing in it? Going after the things in the world, being like God's people, who he speaks to in Jeremiah, who've abandoned the fountain, the spring of living water? Or will you go to him? Will you praise him?